It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I am going to be visiting this morning with a longtime friend and really an individual who's done a great deal in the state of Mississippi. His name is Hank Burdine. He's been on the air before, and when the water rises in the South, as it has been for the past many months, I turn to Hank Burdine to talk in general terms about what's taking place in the Mississippi River Alluvial Valley. Hank's family's been in the South for a long time, and obviously we're dealing with big-time flooding here in Illinois that just won't stop raining. But all that water has to go somewhere, and it's all part of this entire Mississippi River system. We're up here at the top of the funnel. Well, actually, we're at the top of the funnel. Minnesota's the top of the funnel. So this morning's conversation is going to be with a great outdoorsman. Hank's a member of the Mississippi River Levee Board, which means he has a lot to do and say with what takes place in the Mississippi River, and also this area known as the Yazoo Backwater, which is one of the most ecologically important areas in the entire Mississippi River system, in which it right now is once again badly underwater and also in the midst of a lot of controversy, which either will end up costing the U.S. taxpayers a lot of money to fix, or there'll be some other kinds of solutions. So with that introduction, Hank, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. I'm glad to be on the radio with y'all, and you say it's still raining up there. Well, it is absolutely gorgeous down here in the Mississippi Delta. And that's just what we need is sunshine and blue skies.
Well, when you have sunshine and blue skies in the spring, actually it's probably early summer now in Mississippi, it is one of the great places to be on Earth. Except, Hank, not only do I understand, but you and I, a few weeks ago, took a tour of this Yazoo backwater area, one of the most ecologically important areas in the South, which was completely underwater. Has anything, anything changed since then, Hank?
Well, yes, it has changed, Charlie. We were able to open up the steel bar gates, which allows a lot of this backwater to go back out into the Mississippi River to begin to drain itself. We had about 520,000 acres underwater then. Now the gates have been closed again. The river's on the rise. We closed the gates to keep that Mississippi River water from backing up into the South Delta. We have at present about 550,000 acres underwater, and of that, there's about 240,000 acres of it that's prime agricultural farmland that has not had an opportunity for any corn, cotton, or soybeans or anything to be put in the ground. So we're hoping the river's going to crest out here in about a week or so and begin to slowly fall, and at some point in time, be able to open those gates and get some water out of this South Delta. As you saw, Charlie, it's pretty devastating down there. Not only that the farmland is underwater, but the 250,000, 300,000 acres of some of the most ecologically important wetlands and woods are under 5 or 6 feet of water. We got deer that are running everywhere. They can try to find high ground. We've got a lot of them that have been run over by cars, or along with a bear or so that's been hit by a car, been pushed out of the woods because of this water. So it's a pretty bad situation down there right now.
So let me ask you, from the point of view of, and you've been in the outdoors in Mississippi for all of your life, when you were a young boy in Mississippi, were there any bears? Were there any hogs? Tell us what, in the Mississippi woods, obviously, the woods of Faulkner and Roosevelt and so much historical lore in America, and it's where the teddy bear came from, onward Mississippi, and you and I were there the other day. Can you just give us a sense of how this paradise, in many respects, has changed throughout your life? And it seems to me there's more wildlife there now than panthers, and there certainly were when you and I were kids. Why has that happened?
Well, if you read the Faulkner's Big Woods, you'll understand that as the trees were cleared, as the woods were cleared to produce this farmland, some of the best farmland in the world, The bear habitat became smaller and smaller, and we just about lost all of our bears here in the Delta when we had more bear habitat and more bear down here back before all these woods were cleared. But we have had a resurgence of the bear back into the South Delta now. We've got a lot of WRP, a lot of CRP programs going on. A lot of these rivers and streams, the corridors, are being planted back in trees. So we've got a big resurgence of bear habitat back in here. The deer we really do have a deer population down here because of the amount of corn that we plant now. That has taken the place of king cotton down here in a lot of instances. And the woods, the edge of the woods that we have that these deer have to eat on and to get out in these fields. So we've got a big deer population coming back, and we've got much bigger, finer, and healthier deer around here. You and I saw riding through there the browse line that is absolutely, you can take a rule and just put it up in front of you and see in the wooded areas that the water is around, the browse line was so imminent down there. You saw that, Charlie, and we just got a problem with the habitat down there right now, and the solutions, as we'll discuss later on, I don't know what's going to happen down there.
Well, also, I mean, Faulkner's Big Woods, as you described, and Teddy Roosevelt went there to shoot a bear. My gosh, there's some wonderful stories written about that. But the Mississippi Delta, which, as you say, starts in the lobby of the Peabody Hotel in Memphis and ends at the Bluffs in Vicksburg, was one of America's greatest areas of natural resources, not only for the phenomenal timber, but for its phenomenal wildlife. So, as you just said, when now, and what, about 80% of it's gone. Is that right, Hank? Roughly 80% or 90%?
I would imagine 80, 85% of the woods, the forested acreage in the Mississippi Delta is gone. Now, with the WRP and CRP programs, a lot of this lower-lying land that gets wet, probably it never should have been cleared in the first place, have gone back into WRP and CRP programs. And this is bringing a big habitat boost back in here. It's also bringing another problem along with it, and that's the wild hogs. Now, these are not, we call them wild hogs. They're feral hogs that have been turned loose on the river and the islands to fatten themselves up and then corralled and sent to market. But we got a real bad hog problem down here now that's doing a lot of problems, doing a lot of devastation, not only to the trees, but also to the crops. So that's a situation that we're having to contend ourselves with now. Is the wild hogs down here that are just literally taking over.
Well, unfortunately, you didn't keep them all there. And as you know, the wild hog is moving up the river. We have them in southern Illinois. And any of you who have ever experienced listening, seeing a bunch of wild hogs go to work uprooting a land, it is absolutely devastating. And overnight, they can consume acres. And the Department of Natural Resources here in Illinois, Hank, is very worried about the spread of wild hogs. And basically, it's a shoot-to-kill proposition. If a wild hog is seen, you're supposed to kill it. But they are taking hold, and it seems like because of the size of the piglet litters they have, this is going to be a problem throughout the Mississippi River Valley. But you have the worst of it down there. But let me ask you, Hank. So we've now, and for those people, listeners who've never been to the Mississippi Delta, it's hard to describe, but you're doing a great job, what a wildlife mecca this is, but also, on the other hand, what a fertile agricultural area this is. And so is this not where today in 2019 the conflict is really brewing, in that we've recreated a lot of this wildlife habitat through government programs, getting the most sensitive lands planted back to trees, and all of a sudden the wildlife is responding, and on the other hand, agriculture keeps getting flooded? Is it now not an issue where both wildlife is suffering and agriculture is suffering, where when you and I 30 years ago sort of went to work in this part of the world, it was more agriculture and wildlife was not as important? Is that kind of what's happening?
That's kind of that happening in the South Delta. We've got some areas in the rest of the Delta, as you well know, big duck hunting clubs and deer clubs up and down the Mississippi River with turkey and deer and all like that. But the South Delta was the lowest part of the Delta that historically flooded, and that's the home of the Delta National Wildlife Refuge. A lot of the Theodore Roosevelt refuges are down there, the Panther Swamp Refuge. We've got, like I say, in the South Delta, and you can pull it up on Google Earth, see, you've got over 250,000-300,000 acres of that prime wildlife habitat underwater right now. I'm not talking about a foot and a half. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 feet of water. And that's a lot of water for these deer and these bears to be swimming around in. They can't do it. They get up on knolls and on levees and on roadways, and travesty what's happening down there right now. But the agriculture, too, is some of the most fertile land in the world down there. And that land is underwater. And hopefully, you know, if the water goes down, they'll be able to get in a late bean crop and salvage some sort of a farming year out of it. You know, we'll talk about the pumps later on, I'm sure, that were supposed to have been built, that were authorized, but then vetoed by the EPA. So we got a situation that needs to be addressed one way or the other. And what that answer is, I don't really know at this time.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're visiting with Hank Burdi, a member of the Mississippi River Levee Board, a longtime outdoorsman, and also a very famous author now who's written a wonderful book called Dust in the Road. And when I think of the Mississippi Delta, I think of Hank Burdi and all that he represents. We'll be back in just a moment with more on what is taking place in the Mississippi Delta and to talk about what is one of the most potentially expensive and controversial projects the Corps of Engineers has ever conceived. You're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, Northern Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. We're visiting with Hank Burdi, who's a member of the Mississippi River Levee Board in the state of Mississippi. He's also an author, written a great book called Dust in the Road, an all-around great outdoorsman, and happens to be a longtime friend of mine, and we're talking about the flooding in the South Delta. Hank, my first comment is, you're dealing with a lot of water, but the water doesn't originate in the state of Mississippi. It originates further north, and we're sitting here in Chicago this morning, and we got floods everywhere. All that water has to go south. So this is not the reason I have you on the air this morning, this is not a Mississippi problem. This is a whole Mississippi River problem.
It is, and it was after the 1927 flood that Congress realized that and enacted the Flood Control Act of 1928, and which authorized the Mississippi River Tributaries Project. And that realization was that there was 41% of the continental United States that drains right down through our doorstep down here. So it's not a state problem down here. It's a national problem. We also pour water out of two provinces of Canada. Now, the majority of the water that comes into the Mississippi River, 80%, 80 to 85% of the volume of the water actually comes out of the Ohio River Basin. The upper mist that goes on up through Minnesota, like you say, and Illinois through there, and the Missouri River, that brings in about 12 to 15% of the water. But that's where our sediment load comes from. That's where all 160 feet of topsoil we got down here came from right at y'all's doorstep. So thank you for this good dirt we have down here that came out of your place. But that is a problem now in the river, and that we, for whatever reason, the weather cycles are changing a little bit. We're getting a different weather. We're getting more rain. We're getting more frequent floods. Now, the more frequent floods, whether they come from the more rain that we're getting out of these cycles or sedimentation building up in the Mississippi River, we're having a problem with more infrequent and higher floods down here. And that's a situation that I've seen in my lifetime develop. We've got a dike system now that is in the river to help control the flow of the river and put it where it wants to be, where we want it to be, to maintain navigation and maintain the integrity of our levee systems. But that also means that behind each one of these dikes, you've got a sandbar that's about a mile and a half, 2 miles long. So maybe the bowl is filling up, maybe not. It flushes it out and keeps the channel at a certain depth to maintain navigation. So the system is working as it was designed, even to the point in 2011 we had the greatest flood of our recorded history. Not 1 acre of ground was lost. It wasn't supposed to get wet, and not one life was lost. So the system as a whole is working, but we don't know if it is going to be able to do what it was designed to do over the next 50 or 100 years. We've just got a situation that needs to be looked at.
So let me ask you, we got about 2 minutes left, Hank. The Yazoo backwater pumps, a national poster child for some people on an absurdly expensive, environmentally destructive project, and for other individuals, it's the salvation of farmland. It's highly controversial. And in a minute, can you tell us what this is about?
The pumps, Charlie, would kick on at a certain elevation of water and would take water off of what's flooded now, about 250-260 acres of ground, or 250,000 acres of ground. Of that, there's about 220-something thousand acres that is prime farmland. The other 50 or 60-something thousand acres that would be and could be planted back in trees for wildlife habitat. So the pumps would still cut off and still leave over 300,000 acres underwater. Most of that would be the wildlife areas and wildlife habitat that is so crucial down there. Now, as you and I saw, a wetland, and I've got wetlands on my farm, I think I know what a wetland is. It's a slough that floods out, that goes down, that is habitat for all the wading birds and the animals and everything around there. But the wetlands, in my viewpoint, that are down in the South Delta, have 8 feet of water over the top of them. So to me, that's not a functioning wetland, and that's what would be left down there. So you've got environmentalists that are saying one thing. You've got Corps of Engineers saying another thing. You've got farming interests that are wanting the water off. So whether the pumps, which would cost about $400 million now, with a $2 million a year maintenance fee over a 50-year lifetime, that's $100 million. So that's another $500 million for these pumps that would take the water off of about 250,000 acres of farmland. There are other solutions. Yes.
Well, let me ask you, we got about a minute. Let me ask you. I'm doing quick math in my head, and we really need to revisit this, Hank, on a show in the near future. To do that math, it would seem to be maybe far better to go and buy the farmland from the individuals that are underwater than spend the money, $500 million, to keep a couple hundred thousand acres going, because you could buy that farmland for a lot less than it's going to cost to pay for these pumps. Maybe that's a discussion for another day. I have a feeling we'll visit on this again. I thank you so much for being with us. My last thought, Hank, is you live on the banks of Lake Washington, one of the greatest crappie fishing places in the country, and you see a lot of Illinois license plates. You want to see some more?
They come down all the time, stay at Roy's store on Lake Washington at Chatham, Mississippi, and they come down to catch a lot of fish. They actually, a lot of them come go hog hunting with us when they're down there. They have a whole lot of fun, so we enjoy seeing our our northern friends come down and bring a pocket full of money, because we like that down here to spend around here in the Delta.
Thank you for being with us. This is Hank Burdine of the Mississippi River Levee Commission and author of Dust in the Road. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.